just to strengthen the halacha upstairs that I was talking about, smiling, the importance of taking time to smile. So one of the holiest svarim you can read is a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's Mamash Kishmak. And I haven't had it in my svarim. It's really about. So in that sefer, he talks about the godless of dogs. And he asks, why is it that we love dogs so much? Why is it that everybody loves dogs? Okay, the Zohar happens to say...
That's so weird. I was just going to ask you if you have a dog. I'm like, no, that's so inappropriate.
If dog?
Oh, wait, you have a dog.
I don't have a dog, but I do like...
Just by asking that, then you said that.
That's crazy.
It's my question. Weird stuff.
It's on, weird stuff going on, right? freaky. Okay, Chaver, so what? So Pashat, what's the answer? Why does everybody like dogs? Why are they man's best friend? Because?
Mitzrayim.
So one answer is because they didn't bark when we left Mitzrayim. But there's another answer. Why do we love dogs? Because whenever you get home, your dog smiles. He greets you with a smile. He's so happy. He loves you, right? No matter, he doesn't judge you. He only greets you with happiness, with smiles, with love, right? And in fact, this idea of greeting people with a smile, being sincere and loving right away, is in our parsha, right? How do we find it in parsha Vayishlach? Where is this concept of genuinely going out and showing love towards people? So it says, I'll dedicate some more time to this topic, but it says that Yaakov hugs Esav. Nachon? And at that, when it says when Yaakov finally reunites with his brother after so many years, it says, Vayinashkeu. He kissed him. But on the Vayinashkeu, there are dots. Right? There are all these dots. So why are there dots in the Torah when it talks about Yaakov kissing Esav? So there's two opinions that Rashi brings down. One halacha is that, like the Midrash says, he wasn't really kissing him and hugging him. What was Yosef doing? He's trying to bite him. He's a vampire. First vampire in the Torah.
Second fake hug in the Torah.
What was the other one? Oh, love one. Yeah, in fact, the same wording is used. He ran. But there's another halacha. There's another shot that says, halacha he that Esav hates Yaakov. Normally, Esav hates Yaakov. Normally, Esav really was a hater. He wanted to kill him. But in there's one situation.
Is that your?
What is that?
Oh, no. Yeah, I thought
it was Shiva first.
Yeah. I've been curious all week.
What?
I've been curious all week. I'm holding myself back. Yeah. Rabbi, so what? Normally, Esav hates Yaakov, but there was one situation when Yaakov and Esav actually, when their love was sincere and they actually loved each other with all their heart. And when is that? In this case. In this case, Esav actually loved Yaakov, and the dots are there to remind us that there are times in life when actually Esav actually loved Yaakov. And when is that time? Why in this specific case did Esav actually love Yaakov? What made it different here? Why was this a one situation? Maybe because it had been so long, but I think there's something... What? You brought him gifts, okay, but so what? You can sometimes bring someone fake gifts, doesn't make it real. I think the mic shot is because Yaakov was, it was from the heart. He was really, really sincerely loved Esav. And when you really sincerely love someone, that can melt anyone's heart. That can actually, when so they can sense that love. And Esav at that point, he may have came with the intention, the Torah says he came with the intention of killing Yaakov, but when you love someone so much, that can melt the hearts and break down anyone. So we're seeing the amazingness of going out there and showing love and smiling, but not just smiling like a fake smile, but really, really, really showing sincere love towards others will break down the boundaries of everyone. Right? Like all those Rosh Shlomo stories where you go onto the train and just bring, you know, love, hugs to all these drunk people who are threatening him, and he just hugged them, and then they just give him a big hug back. And there was a story where, you know, someone put a gun to his head, and he just gave him a big hug. And then, you know, he put down the gun and started hugging
him. Vinny did that once.
Yeah?
Because
of that Rosh Shlomo story?
Yeah.
My dad, when he started reading all these Rosh Shlomo stories, started giving tzedakah to hobos on the train. That was the thing he got out of Holy Brother. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so there's this idea of going out there and showing sincere love and smiles towards other people, showing the white of your teeth even more precious than this halo of the milk and iced coffee in front of us. Also, you should know statistically, not statistically, but they know that when you smile, you actually bring chemicals which make you happier. So by not happy, God chemicals that actually, you know, that are released when you like force yourself to smile and like
hormones, really.
Yeah, and release all these hormones. From a Musar school of thought, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I think, talked about this. He was like the head of the Musar movement. And he said, let's say, okay, it's great to smile when you're in a good mood. What about when I'm not in such a good mood? Then do I have an excuse to kind of walk around gloomy? And he said, your face is Rishus HaRabim. Your feelings are Rishus HaYachid, meaning like, you can feel how you can feel. But when you're in the public domain, you have to try your best to not walk around gloomy and sad. Because the way that you act will and does affect those who are around you. So if I'm sad, I'm going to make those around me sad. And if I'm smiling, or at least trying to put on a positive disposition, I'm actually going to make those around me happier. So in the Musar, they actually say you gotta walk around with a smile so that those around you are happier. And they also say about a lot of dolim. They say, I've heard this at many places, but there are people who are sick. And they were down. So they were ailing. So there are some people like Rav Dusha of Anipoli who didn't even know that he was sick or ailing because he just had such a positive outlook towards life. They asked him, what's it like to suffer? He's like, I don't know, I've never suffered a day of my life. But there are other guys who actually do. Sometimes you do feel sad. But nonetheless, I forgot who exactly, but there was a big gadol and he had polio, so he would shake and it was really... it was hard for him, but he would always like plaster a smile on his face. He was always walking around with a smile because he wanted those who were around him to feel like, you know, good and feel happy. And so he would make sure he was always smiling. Now, on a practical level, it's hard to do because sometimes we're sad. But I happen to be, I'm reading right now Tuesdays with Morim. It's a Gevaldika Sefer. For those who read it, about this guy, Morton Schwartz, who was dying and got Lou Gehrig's disease. And he has a good Eitza that Rabbi Nachman also says the same thing. And Morty says that in the mornings, he would sometimes mourn over himself. He would give himself a good cry. He would let the emotions totally go over himself. And then after he gave himself that good cry, the whole rest of his day he was ready to be happy and positive. And Rabbi Nachman says the same thing. He says, if you want to be a happy person, take some time in your day to cry about the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, but be just cry about whatever. Be real with yourself. Be emotionally kind of take that time. I think the best time is during davening to cry out to Hashem, to really, really get in touch with your emotions. And once you've gotten that out, then you're kind of ready to be happy and positive and emotionally connected and not have that sadness be in the background, you know. Kind of slowly taking you over. So that's, I think, Rabbi Nachman and Mori Schwartz both give that halakha advice that sometimes you got to give out a good cry, maybe to a good friend. But what's it called? But then afterwards we got to go and be happy. On a related note, so this we'll move to Hilchos Lashon Hara, okay? So, in general, we know that does Lashon Hara apply to your family and friends? In other words, can I speak Lashon Hara about Gabe to my wife? Can I go over to my wife tonight and start talking about her?
Can you say Lashon Hara to your wife?
To your wife. Can I speak Lashon Hara about your wife? So not about your wife, to your wife, about your wife. That's my question. What do you think?
As a therapist, you should be able to start managing.
Ah, so you already... But before you get to that, on a push-up shot level, before we get to the therapist answer... Push-up
shot,
you have to know that the Chavetz Chaim writes in his book, Shemir Salashon, that you can't speak Lashon Hara to anyone, including your wife, including your brother, including your mom. You can't just start speaking smack about other people. That's a big misconception that since she's my wife or my best friend or anything... that, no, it's not going to get it. I can talk about whatever I want. No. In fact, in certain ways, it's worse by speaking everything to your wife. It's going to become a bad habit. You're going to start becoming the type of person that's always complaining So in general, no, we're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara even to our wife, even to our mom, even to our best friend. However, as Gabe mentioned, there is a famous heter, which many rabbis talk about. And that is that there, in certain situations, it's really, really bugging you. It's not that it's just like something bad happened and you just want to vent about, you know, everything bad that happened to you that day. But there's something really, really negative that's in your life, and it's weighing upon you, and you really can't get rid of it, and you feel like if you don't get rid of it, you're going to end up exploding and treating people badly, and it's going to kind of go worse, and you're going to end up saying it to the wrong people. It's going to go to the wrong places. So in that situation, Rabbi Daniel Feldman, who has a lot of shirim about the laws of Lashon Hara nowadays on Y.U. Torah, so he writes that maybe there is a heter, just like if you were to go to a therapist, you know, to just get it off your chest. You appoint one specific person who's like your point man venter only when you really can't have nowhere else to go with the emotion. It could be your wife, that makes sense. And you can get that off your chest to that person so that it doesn't kind of take over your life.
Pick one person.
Ideally, I would say pick one person, because otherwise you're going to end up, he's going to be my guy, and he's going to be my guy, and then it's going to end up kind of...
I feel like that's like abuse. The most of the times when we do that, it's really for our own self-satisfactory ego.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that. It really depends on the... You have to be careful with this.
But so who gets to judge? And I get to judge for myself, whether it's like for good place or bad place?
I think so. I think the only real solution is that you have to be honest with yourself.
Well, somebody loves speaking Lashon Hara, they're not very honest with themselves.
That's true. So I would say probably step one is totally remove yourself from Lashon Hara completely. And most of us are probably immersed in the world of, not you guys because you're tzaddikim, but I'm saying other people are immersed in the world of naturally kind of speaking our mind, just whatever comes from our head. So first, read a whole Chafetz Chaim Sefer about not speaking Lashon Hara. But then I do think, there are specific scenarios in life when you really will be emotionally unhealthy if we just keep it all boggled up and we have no one to share it with. Mm-hmm. And in those specific situations, maybe even have a Rebbe to discuss. Is this like a type of situation when I can like vent a little bit? In that specific situation, in a specific context, I think there could be room for leniency. But even then, you have to be careful. Let's say you decide you're going to vent to your wife. It doesn't mean you vent to your wife in front of other people, right? I think the Chafetz Chaim specifically talks about that. And it's safer. Let's say one scenario when you're allowed to, let's say, speak badly about another person is in the realm of shiduchim, right? In fact, you're obligated sometimes to speak badly. So let's say someone suggests...
testifying
would be another example, but let's stick to something that comes up practically often. Someone suggests to Gabe should go out with Hanala. But I know that Hanala has all sorts of psychological diseases and it's not going to be good. So if I know that, then I'm obligated to, you know, tell the people who need to know, tell Gabe, no, you should, don't go out with that girl. But the Chafetz Chaim points out, I can't tell that to Gabe when other people are around. Right? Because if other people are around, then they're going to hear and they don't need to hear that. Right, so even when the Chafetz Chaim has all sorts of requirements that when you're speaking Lashon Hara about other for a to'elet, you have to do it totally l'shem shamayim, right? You have to, your intentions have to be pure, not to speak smack about other people. So you have to find the balance of on the one hand doing what needs to be done, but on the other hand being in control and not just, you know, spewing forth negativity and, you know, bringing negativity upon ourselves.
And the person who receives that information.
The person who receives that information also, in terms of, you have to know how to take the information, but at the same time take it with a grain of salt. So you don't necessarily macabre 100%, you just macabre for practical purposes. So yeah, the laws of Lashon Hara are complicated. B'ezrat Hashem will dedicate more time another day for maybe a more in-depth look at it.
Talk about like being a bystander.
Right, a bystander. So we have a lot of halachas to discuss for another day, but it's 8:55, so we'll call it a halachic day.